Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Allah, today we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class today is The Conquest of Mecca. We will start by the invitation of peace. Actually, the peace, which is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which we discussed in details last week, guaranteed for 10 years. That peace was guaranteed for 10 years. This means that people could travel from all over Arabia to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and actually a great many came to declare their Islam. Also, during this period, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided that the time had come for his message to be taken to other countries. So he sent trusted companions with letters telling of his message to the leaders of the most powerful nations. It is recorded that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah has sent me as a mercy to all men, so take the message from me that Allah has mercy on you." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent these messages to the king of Persia, the king of Abyssinia, and the ruler of Egypt. Although only Abyssinia responded to the Prophet's call to Islam, all was not lost. For a few years later, Persia, Egypt, and Syria all became Muslim countries. Now we will learn about the conquest of Mecca, which is a very important event in Islam. Despite the improved relation between Mecca and Medina after the signing of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the 10 years peace was to be broken by Quraysh, who, with their allies, attacked a tribe which was ally of the Muslims. When the Prophet heard of the attack, he ordered his men to prepare for entering Mecca. Soon they were ready, knowing that their destination was Mecca, and as the Prophet clarified that he didn't want any fighting within the walls of the city, he told the Muslims that they must move quickly and take the enemy by surprise. In this way, the Meccans would not have time to prepare for war, so the Muslims would then be able to take the city without injury or loss of life to anyone. When the Muslims arrived to Mecca in Ramadan, the 8th year of Hijrah, many of them were fasting and excited to see their homes in Mecca after 8 years, because they left their homes 8 years before. In the meantime, the Prophet's uncle Al-Abbas had decided that the time had come for him and his wife to leave Mecca and join the Prophet in Medina. They didn't. However, they didn't have to go far, as after a distance of only 25 kilometers, they came across the Muslim camp. When the Prophet saw them, he said, "Uncle, your immigration is the last immigration, as my prophecy is the last one," because he decided now to return back to Mecca, and so there is no more immigration. Night fell and the Muslims made fires to light their camp. Now they have a camp very close to Mecca. The Meccans, looking out of the city, were amazed to see the many fires. And Abu Sufyan, one of the Quraysh leaders, he went all over Mecca trying to find out whose camp it was. Suddenly he saw Al-Abbas, this is Prophet Muhammad's uncle, riding towards him from the direction of the fires. He was returning as a messenger of peace from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to Abu Sufyan, one of the leaders of Quraysh, the Muslims have come, they have come with a large army. They don't wish to fight, only to enter the city. It will be better to surrender and not to fight. Come under my protection and meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan agreed, and he got up behind Al-Abbas, who was riding the Prophet's white mule. It was still night as they entered the Muslim camp. Each time they passed a fire, someone would call out, "Who goes there?" None of them recognized the stranger as the leader of their enemy, but all knew Al-Abbas, and so they led them through. As they passed by Umar ibn al-Khattab, he immediately recognized Abu Sufyan and yelled out, "Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Allah." He ran after them with the intention to kill Abu Sufyan. But they reached the Prophet's tent just before Umar. Okay? Who requested the Prophet saying, "O Messenger of Allah, let me end the life of Abu Sufyan, this enemy of Islam, who has led the Quraysh armies in their attacks on us." Al-Abbas interrupted, saying, "I have sworn to protect him during his time here." Whereupon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his uncle to take Abu Sufyan to his tent for the night. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protected Abu Sufyan from being killed by Umar ibn al-Khattab. In the morning, Abu Sufyan was taken to the Prophet, who said, "Abu Sufyan, have you not yet realized that there is no God but Allah?" To this Abu Sufyan replied, "If there had been another, he surely would have helped me by now." "Shame on you, Abu Sufyan," responded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "It is time you realized that I am truly Allah's messenger. It is the time that you realize that I am truly Allah's messenger." After a moment or two, Abu Sufyan, who remembered how Umar had not been allowed to kill him, he replied, "I can see you as a generous and forgiving man, but I still can't be sure of that." At this, Al-Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, said, "Believe as I do now." He started to tell him, "You must believe as I do." Abu Sufyan stood quietly for a moment. Then in a calm, clear voice, he said in front of everyone, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." So he became a Muslim. The Prophet then told Abu Sufyan to go back to Mecca and to tell the people that the Muslims would enter the city next morning. Before he left, Al-Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, suggested that as Abu Sufyan was a proud man, it would be good to give him an honorable position. Okay, so long he became a Muslim very easily and he is returning to him. So give him a position so that the people, you know, will respect him and he can help us to encourage the Meccan people to become Muslims. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took this advice, saying to Abu Sufyan, "Tell the people of Mecca that when the Muslims will enter the city, anyone seeking refuge in your house is safe." This was a great honor to Abu Sufyan. Whoever will enter the house of Abu Sufyan, he will be safe from the Muslims. In addition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Abu Sufyan to assure the Meccans that those who remain in their own homes at the Kaaba would also be protected. So they don't want any fight. Stay in your home or stay beside the Kaaba, the Muslims will come in and that's it. Abu Sufyan returned quickly to Mecca. He made straight for hill from which the Prophet announced the message of Islam. He went to the hill so that everyone will hear his voice and he can collect the biggest number of people. It was the same place where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced the message of Islam after 3 years of being, you know, the messenger of Allah. Because the message was in secret for 3 years. And then he announced the message of Islam. So Abu Sufyan called upon Quraysh to come to him. Abu Sufyan then spoke to the people. O people of Mecca, the fires we saw around us were the camp fires for Muhammad and his men. Muhammad has come with a strong army, and there are too many for us to fight. It is best, therefore, to surrender. Anyone who stays in my house or in his own house or at the Kaaba is protected. Early next day, the Muslims entered Mecca from all sides. They had been ordered to cause no harm unless anyone tried to stop them entering the city. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived, he got off his camel and he did sujood on the ground, thanking as he was thankful to Allah for his victory. And actually this is very important. Whenever Allah granted you any success or victory, immediately you must do sujood, because you are sending to Allah the message that it is from you. The victory from you, success is from you and not from me. In anything in your daily life, you know, if you want to buy a car and Allah made it for you easy to buy it, go ahead and thank Allah by doing sujood. If your daughter succeeded in the exam, whatever, something good happened in your life, immediately return it to Allah. Return the success and victory to Allah so that Allah will be pleased with you.
Thank you, Allah, and you get home safely.
Yes, I agree
like
with
last
you.
Last week it's raining, then we got home safely.
I agree with you. It was a very difficult day. Yes, you remind me. You know, sometimes when I arrive to Masjid Hamza in a rainy day, yeah, I always do you remind me, alhamdulillah. When the unbelievers saw this, they knew that the Prophet had come in peace. People began leaving their homes and running towards Al-Kaaba. When they arrived there, they found the Prophet ﷺ performing a tawaf on his camel, surrounded by the Muslims. When he had finished, he said, "There is no God except Allah, and Allah has no partner." He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continued, "Men and women of Quraysh, be not proud," because they were very proud. So he clarified to them, "Men and women of Quraysh, be not proud, for all are equal. We are all sons of Adam, and Adam was made of dust." Mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the rules of Islam. We will learn about that rule in Islam from Surah number 49, verse number 30. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal nasu inna khalaqnakum min zakarin wa unfa. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِندَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female, and made you peoples and tribes, that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and aware.
Okay. So actually, Sister Lissis learned the meaning of this verse in details, because this is a very important Quranic or Islamic rule. We must always believe that differences of language, color, talents and abilities and manners must not lead to conflict and fighting. In fact, they make for cooperation, so that all tasks are fulfilled and all needs are met. Color, race, homeland, and similar factors are of no importance in Allah's sight. It is the sincere fear of Allah that is important in Allah's sight. This is the foundation of the Islamic society, which must be the best society so long its members are following Allah's commands. So we learn, sister, that in the sight of Allah, it is not the color, it is not the race, it is not the prestige, it is not the qualification, it is not the wealth, it is not the homeland, Okay, these factors are of no importance in Allah's sight. Why, sisters? Because Allah is the creator of everything, and Allah is the provider of everything, and Allah is the one who created us with different colors, different cultures, different race, different homeland. So all of these factors are up to Allah. The only factor which is up to the human being is the fear of Allah. I have control only on my heart. I don't have the control to choose the race, to choose the homeland, to choose the color, okay, or to choose anything in this life. I have my control on my heart, and I can be responsible for my sincerity towards Allah. Accordingly, it is the sincere fear of Allah that is important in Allah's sight. The Muslim society must be built on that fact. So all the Muslims are supposed to be of different color, of different race, of different homeland, of different abilities and talents and jobs and wealth, and everything is different because we are very big community. The Muslim community is from China to California and from Russia to South Africa. Okay, Muslims are all over the world with a lot of differences between them. But in front of Allah, it is the one who has the sincere fear of Allah is the best one in the sight of Allah. So we must accommodate with each other. We must be tolerant to each other. And we must unite together so that inshallah we will be all having the fear of Allah. We must not divide or fight or have conflict with each other. This is Sunnah, this is Shia, this is from Egypt, this is Arabic speaking, this is English speaking, this is from Asia, this is from Africa. You know, all these differences which is between the Muslims. And now if you look around, who are the people whom they are always fighting together? It is the Muslims. Mostly the Middle East. Most of the fights in the world are in the Middle East. And it is between, in Syria, it is between Shia and Sunnah. In Lebanon, Shia and Sunnah. In Libya, between different tribes of the Muslims. In Egypt, between also different, you know, sects or groups of the Muslims. All over in Sudan, all over. You know, it is the Muslims fighting each other. Okay? So this is against, you know, the law of Allah.
Why is Islam divided? I mean, why is there... They're Sunnis and Shiites.
You know, you know, Daniel, the problem is that when you are sincere to worship only Allah, you will not give any attention to the differences. Okay, but when your goal is not Allah, your goal is my homeland or my group. Or my, my people, okay? Suppose I am Egyptian, so I will just have a relation with the Egyptian sisters. Or I am Sunnah, I will not have a relation with the Shia, okay? My goal is not Allah, I will start to fight with the other Muslims, okay? Because there are many differences, okay? But if my goal is Allah, I will be very happy, you know, to cooperate with all the Muslims, because we all have one God, we all have one book, we all have one messenger. So the factors of unity for us, these factors are very strong. But when these factors are our goal, we can be united. But if these three factors, Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quran, are not our goal, my goal is, you know, my homeland, or my race, or my color, we will never be united.
It's like if one person believes something and the other one believes something else, and they fight over this, like the same issue, like where is Jesus coming? It doesn't matter where he's coming as long as he's...
As long as he will come back.
Right.
I was about actually to tell you, Daniel, if Jesus will come in Damascus, or will come in Jerusalem, or come in Egypt, or in any place, what a difference. He will come back.
Right.
So let us forget about these minor issues.
The shaitan who is trying to distract us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Daniel, this is one of the problems of the Muslims, is that they always try to, focus
Are you right? No, I'm right.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Focus on the very minor issues, and then my way or the highway.
Right.
Okay. On the very minor issues. You know, we don't have different points of view for the main issues. No, for a very minor issue, which may be not clear. Maybe no one knows the truth. Only Allah knows it. Then everyone will be stuck with her point of view. And then I don't want to talk to Daniel. She doesn't know anything. I know everything. And Daniel has the same feeling. And then we will lose our relation totally. And whoever is like Daniel will be with Daniel without knowing what is the cause of the difference of the conflict. And all the Egyptians will be with me. Why? Because we are Egyptians. Okay? We belong to Egypt. This is the cause of the weakness of the Muslims. And they will never be become a strong nation except when they forget about these differences. And Allah is clarifying that the most honorable and the best of you is the one who has the fear. When you fear Allah from the depth of your heart, you never consider these factors at all when you are looking for the Muslim community. When I notice that there is a sister whom she is always attending, whom she is very sincere, whom she is trying to learn, this is the best sister in the sight of Allah. So she must be the best sister in my sight. Whether she is from my color, my race, my homeland, this is none of my business. Because we are together. Not because we are from the same race or color or homeland. We are together because we have the same book and we have Allah and the same Lord and we have the same messenger. So we must, you know, evaluate our relation according to the units, factors of unity. Not the factors which can make us having a lot of differences between each other. So when you notice or observe that there is a sister whom she is unfair with other sisters whom they have some differences, outside differences, be sure that that sister is not sincere with Allah. Because when you are sincere with Allah and you fear Allah, you never look to the sisters from outside. Allah is the creator. This is none of my business because I am also different. I am looking for the heart. If the heart is good, all praise to Allah, alhamdulillah, that I find a good sister whom she has a good heart. This is none of my business. I'm not the creator. I'm not the one who gave her that color or that race or that homeland. So you will immediately realize that this sister is not sincere.
Alaykum as-salam.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people of Mecca, men and women of Quraysh, be not proud, for all are equal. We are all sons of Adam, and Adam was made of dust. After this, he said to them, O Quraysh, do you think I am going to do to you? What do you think I am going to do with you? The people thought carefully before answering, because they knew that according to the law of the war, they could be all taken prisoners. Okay, so they were very cautious to answer that question. They also knew that the Prophet was generous, so they replied, you would treat us as a nice nephew and a generous brother. Would? Okay? They were afraid what he will do with them. So they said to him, you would treat us as a nice nephew and a generous brother. We hope that you will not take us as prisoners. Okay? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, go, for all of you are free. He didn't take any one of them as a prisoner. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used the words of Prophet Joseph with his brothers when he came to Egypt. We will recite about these words from Surah number 12, verse number 92. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used the words which Prophet Joseph said to his brothers in Surah number 12, verse number 92. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. He said, no blame will be there, no blame will there be upon you today. May Allah forgive you, and He is the most merciful of the merciful.
Okay, actually, sister, these words which Prophet Joseph, he said to his brothers when they came to Egypt, the meaning of these words is that Prophet Joseph's brothers, they tried to kill him, okay, and to get rid of him so that the love of their brother will be for them and not for Prophet Joseph. And actually, he went through a lot of problems because of their plot. Okay, but Allah the Almighty helped him, and he became actually a very powerful man in Egypt. Okay, so when they met him after around 40 years, they didn't recognize.
This is Prophet Yusuf, right?
Yes, okay, Prophet Yusuf. Yeah. They didn't recognize him, but he knew them. Okay, and he treated them in a good way. So one day he reminded them, "Did you remember that you did something one day?" So they told him, "You are Yusuf." So he said, "Yes." So they told him, "We were sinners. So what you will do with us now? Because now he is a very powerful man." You see? So he replied, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No reproach on you this day. May Allah forgive you. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy." So this is what Prophet Muhammad said, may Allah forgive you. Okay, Allah forgive you. So later the Prophet went to the hill of Safa, one of the mountains in Mecca, and there the crowd followed him and surged forward, taking his hand one by one to declare themselves Muslims. All of them became Muslims. Subhanallah. Why? Because he treated them in a good way. Because he is kindness and acceptance and tolerance is the way, you know, to win the hearts of the people. When they feel that in reality this is the message of mercy and he is coming with peace, so they realize that Islam is a good religion. So let us follow that man, the man of peace, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then turned to the Kaaba and pointing his staff at the 365 idols which were placed there. Around the Kaaba still there were 365 idols. Can you imagine the number 365? So Prophet Muhammad was pointing and he recited these verses of the Quran. Surah number 17, verse number 81. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 17, Surah Al-Isra, verse number 81. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَذَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ ذَهُوقًا.
And say, truth has come, and falsehood has departed. Indeed, is falsehood by nature ever bound to depart?
Okay. And also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited surah number 34, verse number 49. He recited two verses of the Holy Quran. The second verse is from surah number 34. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah Saba. Verse number 49. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَمَا يُبْدِئُ الْبَاطِلُ وَمَا يُعِيدُ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Say, the truth has come and falsehood can neither begin anything nor repeat it.
At this, each idol fell over on to its face. All the idols, they fall on its face. Together with his followers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to purify Al-Kaaba. All the idols were removed. And this is the meaning that the truth has come and the falsehood already removed. After which, after removing and purifying Al-Kaaba, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered Bilal to climb on top of Al-Kaaba and to perform the call to prayer, Al-Adhan. Now this is the first time Al-Adhan will be, the call to prayer will be announced over the Kaaba. This was on that day when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Al-Kaaba and he purified Al-Kaaba from all the idols. Since then, the call to prayer has been heard five times a day in Mecca. The Kaaba, the house of Allah, had served the purpose for which it was built by Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, thousands of years ago, as a place for the worship of Allah, our Creator, and Mecca continued to be the spiritual center of Islam. So on that day, all praise to Allah, Al-Kaaba became the place where the call for prayer for the La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And since then, inshallah, until the day of judgment, the call to prayer will be heard from Al-Kaaba 5 times a day, announcing the victory of Islam and the victory of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise to Allah. This is actually a great day in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the life of the Muslims. On the day Mecca was conquered, the Prophet addressed the people saying, Allah made Mecca holy the day He created the heavens and the earth, and it is holy until the resurrection day. It is not lawful for anyone who believes in Allah and the last day to shed blood therein, not to cut down tree therein. It was not lawful for anyone before me, and it will not be lawful for anyone after me. Indeed, it is not lawful for me except at this time, only for that time. Only Allah's anger against His people makes it permissible. Okay, because of the conflict between Muslims and the disbelievers. Mecca has now regained its former holiness.
Holiness?
Let those here go forth and tell others. Whoever is around, let him go and mention that fact to everyone. No one is supposed to shed blood in Al-Kaaba, nor to cut down any tree from around Al-Kaaba. Okay? So actually, sisters, there are many lessons which we must learn from the conquest of Mecca. But again, before learning about these lessons, we must first feel that we are so thankful to Allah the Almighty. Because everything in this life is done according to the will of Allah. And it is the will of Allah that helped the Muslims whom they started, the immigrants of Mecca, whom they believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the very difficult times when he was alone, he and Khadija and Ali and Abu Bakr, only 4 people, okay, they believed in the message. And gradually everyone started to believe in the message, knowing that he will pay the price. Because all Quraysh and all the Arab tribes were against the message of Islam. So there are many lessons which we must learn about the sincere belief in an idea. When you believe in sincerely in something right, you must know that you will pay the price. Okay? But my belief is more important for me than any price. To be a true believer in the truth is my goal. Whatever price I will pay, this is nothing for me. This is how you can be a true, a good human being. This is the quality of the human beings. Okay, because there are people whom they feel that the truth will make us, following the truth will make us to pay a lot of price. So I will not follow it. I don't want. I can't. I can't pay the price for the truth. Many people, or most of the people actually, they don't follow the truth because of the price. Okay? Those are the true losers. Because if you live your life not following the truth, okay, this means that you are living in darkness. This means that animals are better than us. Because Allah is clarifying this in the Holy Quran. Those people whom they are not following the truth, animals are better than them. Why? Because animals, they don't have mind. But human beings have mind. So if you have mind, why you are not following the truth? Okay? You want to forget about the truth because the price is high? Okay? Believing that I am a winner, you are the true losers. Whoever is not following the truth is a loser. Because at the end, we will all stand in front of Allah. And Allah will question every one of us about the truth. Why you didn't follow the truth? Okay? No one can escape death. No one can escape meeting Allah the Almighty on the Day of Judgment. Okay? No one in all the religions, they believe that there is a Day of Judgment. Okay? So if I am sure that I will meet Allah under any circumstances, so I must question myself, how I will escape the question? Why you didn't follow the truth? The Quran was there. The life of Prophet Muhammad was there. Okay? So why you didn't follow the truth? So again and again, sisters, when you want to follow the truth, don't look for the price. Appreciate the truth. Appreciate that I am living the truth. This is the most important for me. And when you will appreciate the truth, the price will be nothing. Okay? Instead, you will feel that what price you are paying actually is a blessing from Allah. If I am praying 5 times per day, okay, these are the only minutes of the day when I separate my spirit from the headache and the corruption and the confusion of the worldly life, and I feel the peace of being connected to Allah the Almighty. When I fast 30 days in the hot summer in the month of Ramadan, at that time I am in a spiritual journey with Allah the Almighty. I forget about eating and drinking and my husband and everything, and my spirit is alive during the month of Ramadan. Not my mouth and my stomach and my body are those whom they are always alive. 11 months of the year you are eating, drinking, whatever you like at any time. Okay, and your spirit is at rest. Okay, during the month of Ramadan, your spirit is alive. You look to the food and you say no, for the sake of Allah. I will not touch the food. Even I don't feel hungry, or I want to drink water. The water is in front of me, but I will not drink it. I am satisfied. My spirit is strong. My belief is strong. This is how you can learn to be a strong person. Month of Ramadan is actually the month when you feel that you can control your Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You can control your desires. Okay, I have the food in front of me, but I control myself. I can control my desires. So the month of Ramadan is a very important month for your spirit to become strong and to control your desires. And because of that, you know, after the month of Ramadan, you always feel that you are very strong in your belief and you are still following the right path and you are having the best manners. Gradually, okay, you will return again, you know, to the same place. Okay, so this is regarding fasting, this is regarding praying. When you give the charity to the poor people, okay, this means that you believe that the owner of everything is Allah. The wealth is not, I am not the owner of the wealth. Okay, I am someone who has a trust. I have a trust from Allah. This wealth is a trust from Allah. I will leave it under any circumstances. Or the wealth will leave me, okay, according to what Allah planned for me. So I am not an owner, okay. So to give it to others, the poor, whom they have right in the wealth of Allah, because basically it is not my wealth, it is the wealth of Allah. He gave me a lot, okay, to test me. I will give whatever is supposed to be for Allah to the poor, or I will not obey the command of Allah. So people are actually evaluating wealth in a wrong way. Wealth is a problem. The more you are wealthy, I knew many people, Muslim people, the more they are wealthy, the more they cannot pay charity. I know someone by name, one of my relatives, he is very rich, and when you ask him, did you give the charity? His wife will tell me, Mona, our charity is very big, we cannot pay it. So I question her, why you cannot pay it and you can take all the wealth? We can only, you can have millions, but you cannot give thousands. Okay? This is a sign that you don't know the truth. If you know the truth, the wealth is a test from Allah. Okay, so to give that charity actually must give you a very good feeling. Why? I have a very good feeling when I give, because I can win on my shaitan. My shaitan is telling me, Mona, don't give the church. What is the problem? No one can get it, you know, by force. But when I feel happy and I have the intention to give it and to give more, I will tell to myself, Mona, you are a winner. You win on the shaitan. You obey our law. This is a very good sign. Alhamdulillah. As I can take, I must be able to give. Allah is giving. I am taking from Allah. So why am I not giving to the poor? This means that my quality is not a good quality. This is the charity. This is Islam. Then the rest of Islam equals good manners. Okay? To say the truth, to forgive, to forget, to tolerate, to adapt, to accommodate. Excellent manners for any spirit. If I have all of this in my spirit, I will be living a very happy life. But people will say, no, I can't forgive. I must revenge from those, yes, and I must be proud. Yes, this is the bride and the revenge. Okay? These are very bad manners. Okay? Islam is against all of this. So when I will obey Allah the Almighty, okay, inshallah, I will be the best human being. Not only the best Muslim, I am the best human being. Why? Because I have a good spirit. The problem, sisters, nowadays, is not to have a good job, or to have a good qualification, or to have a good house, okay, or the best car. The problem is to have a good spirit, to be a good human being. This is the problem. And because of that, nowadays, most of the people who have their company as a dog, they don't have a company as a human being. Most of the people, they have dogs. Why? Because the dog, you know, is the animal who will be with you all the time. Okay, he is a good animal, has a good quality. When you treat him in a good way, he will take care of you. Okay, and number one, he is not speaking. So the end of the life for the human being is that I will live with an animal not speaking with me. By time, I will not speak. So now when you communicate with the people, you will notice that the people, you know, are speaking very little. Plus the dog, plus the text message. Okay? Text message, text message. There is no communication. Okay? This is a very big problem in life. Now, if I have my relation with you sisters all the time just by text message, now I come to the class, I will not speak to you, I will start sending you text message. Okay? Part one, part two, part three. Assalamu alaikum. You don't know me. We don't communicate as human beings. Well, then after I leave the masjid, I will have my dog with me. So this means that I didn't communicate with any human beings at all. By time, I will lose the ability to communicate. This is the problem, because we have abilities. If we don't use our abilities, we will lose our abilities. This is what is going on nowadays. People by time will stop talking together. When you will tell me anything, I will tell you just a minute. I will send you a text message. Don't talk to me a lot. Few words in the text message. Give me my dog. Salaam alaikum. What is this life? You know, sometimes I sit in the balcony. I have a balcony. And I look around. And I always notice from all the direction. Old man, old woman, young man, young woman. Everyone walking alone with the dog. Alone with the dog. What is the meaning of this? How the people will communicate? How we will communicate our feelings? How you will feel love, you will feel compassion, you will feel kindness, if we are using the text message plus the dog? Okay? So, yes, you know, if you try to think it over, you will notice this. I am now all the time with my youngest daughter, Yusr. I am telling her, Yusr, forget about the text message. I don't like you to communicate with me with the text message. I'm your mother. Yeah. Give me a call. Tell me, hello, mommy. How are you? How is everything? I miss you. Let us listen to the voice of each other. Let us have feelings. Not just, I am good. Yeah. You are good. You are okay. I'm okay. I miss you. You miss me. Yeah. By time, you forget about everything. So, you know, sister, these are very important facts which we must reflect on it and try to forget. If the people are using the text message, say to them, I will not use the text message. Okay? Just for the group message, I will use it. But one by one or one to one, I like to communicate. How are you, sister? How is everything? I am your sister. Let us talk together. If you have a problem, I am there. You know, the feelings, the communication. This is very important. So now, sister, let us learn about... Yes.
I want to know how it is. Some people like to talk very much. And what I realize is the less you talk, the better it is sometimes.
The less you talk, the what?
The better it is. The less you say. Sometimes they say the less you say,
the better
it is.
Oh, yes, I tell you, this is a saying.
When you talk, your mouth gets you in trouble.
Yes. This is correct, but you know, Safiya, I tell you one thing. This is not the relation between the people whom they like each other. You know, for example, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it always for us. We come to the masjid and we want to communicate with each other. And I want to say whatever in my heart very simply. Okay, this is very important. This is called the ventilation. Okay, I want to ventilate. I will tell you, no, Sister Daniel, I'm not happy with this and that and this. Maybe when I speak or I say words, maybe you say, what happened to Dr. Mona? She is not stable psychologically. No problem. Okay, her points of view is different, my points of view.
None of us are stable.
But so long we like each other, we will forget this. For us, and we will feel that I am very happy that Daniel ventilated today. Safiya ventilated. All the negative energy inside us, we get rid of it when we speak together. Okay, I am angry with my daughter, I am not happy with the weather, I am this and that. Okay, this is when there is good intention between the people. But the saying, speak little, you will not be in trouble. This is when there is no good intention between the people. And this is the materialistic life which the people are living now. And this is why text message is the best. No talk at all. Forget about talking or speaking. Just to communicate. This is very bad for the human spirit. Because you need to get rid of the negative energy. Okay? And you need also to feel that there are people whom I can... with them be, you know, the real Mona. Okay, not mask and mask and masks, three masks. People are living with each other. Everyone is putting a mask. I am a scholar. I am very respectable. Assalamu alaikum, sister. Jazakum Allah khair, sister. Take care, sister. Remember Allah, sister. What is this? No, we are human beings. We are very weak and we are needy and we are alone and we have a lot of weaknesses. So you need other people. You communicate with them and you show them your weaknesses. What is the problem? But this materialistic life, you know, be cautious. So I will use the text message. And the dog. Because when I will speak to the dog will not remember any of my words.
He can't talk back.
Yes, he can talk back. I asked one sister, why you want to have a dog? She told me, because the dog will not talk back. Yes, so this is excellent. Okay. Allah Rahman Rahim. Let us now learn again to learn about some lessons from the conquest of Mecca. First lesson is related to a question. Why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take revenge against the Meccans who tried to kill him and they already forced him to leave Mecca. Why didn't take revenge from them? The answer is that because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent as a mercy to mankind. We will recite these facts from Surah number 21, verse number 107, to remember that fact which is related to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said in the Holy Quran that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just sent as a mercy to mankind. Surah number 21, verse number 107. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as mercy to the world.
Okay. So this is actually the word of Allah. This is the fact which Allah is mentioning in the Holy Quran, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, but not as a mercy for the mankind. Okay? And because he was sent as a mercy for the mankind, he is teaching us that forgiveness and mercy are appreciated when it comes from someone who has power. Okay? Someone who has power, not from someone who is weak. Prophet Muhammad was having the power, okay, to make all of them prisoners, but out of forgiveness and mercy, he said to them, go, all of you are free. Accordingly, they believed all in Islam. They believed that Islam is the religion of mercy, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of mercy, and they became Muslim. So he didn't revenge from them because his goal was the message. He was hoping that they will become Muslims, and he believed that forgiveness and kindness, okay, are highly appreciated when they come from someone who has power. Okay, this is number one. The second lesson is that the conquest of Mecca removed the threat that the disbelievers had imposed on the weak Meccans, who wished to embrace Islam but feared the threat of Quraysh. So the conquest of Mecca came to remove that threat and enable them to embrace Islam without fear. Okay? This is the second lesson. The third lesson, sisters, is that the conquest of Mecca increased the faith of the believers in the promise of Allah, which was mentioned in Surah number 48, verse number 27. The conquest of Mecca increased the faith of the believers in the promise of the Lord, Surah number 48, verse number 20. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا.
Certainly has Allah showed to His Messenger the vision, the dream, and truth. You will surely enter al-Masjid al-Haram, if Allah wills, in safety, with your head shaved and hair shortened, not fearing anyone. He knew what you did not know and has arranged before that a conquest near at hand.
Okay. So actually, this what happened already. Okay, that they came to Mecca and they entered Mecca and he will do the Hajj, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, soon. We will learn about this. And this is the promise of Allah to the Muslims and it become true. So this has increased the faith of the believers. The fourth lesson is that the conquest of Mecca encouraged all the other Arab tribes to embrace Islam, as those Arabs differed their Islam until the conquest. They were saying, wait, if Muhammad gained victory over the Quraysh people, then he is indeed a true prophet. So when it happened, the conquest happened, they realized that he is a true prophet, and all the other Arab tribes, they became Muslims. The fifth lesson is that the Muslims attained the honor of guarding and serving the house of Allah, Al-Kaaba. Now the Muslims are the ones whom they are taking care of Al-Kaaba, and we must know, sister, that Al-Kaaba is the best place over the world, and it is served and it is guarded by the Muslims. Allah said in this verse of the Quran, وَلْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. Can you read it in English?
Verily Allah will help those who help His cause. Truly Allah is all strong, almighty.
So if you are looking for a good job, if you are looking to have a good qualification, if you are looking to have a family, whatever goal you have, so long that goal is a legal goal, that goal is to improve your status as a Muslim, okay, which must be actually the goal of every Muslim, to improve her status, so long the means are right and the means are legal, okay, and according to the law of Allah, be sure that Allah will help you. And Allah will support you. And Allah will give you people to help you. And Allah will make all the means easy for you. The most important is to have the goal and to try your best, to have the trust in Allah and the sincerity, and also, sisters, to have patience. There is no success without patience. This is a rule from the Holy Quran and from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not patient and very patient with the non-believers through the 10 years which he lived in Mecca, struggling and tolerating the tough treatment and the punishment for him and the other Muslims, okay, Islam will not be the religion which billions and billions are now having. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, patience is a fundamental factor for any success. As hardships and trials are on the way for any goal, you must believe in this. Some people, you know, whom they don't want to have patience, they always look to the success of other people and they will say, they are successful without any patience. Mm-hmm. They become successful just like that, very easy. There is no success which comes very easy. Okay, for any true success, there must be hardships on the way. Okay, so, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you can be successful through patience, you can reach your goal. We will recite now from Surah number 3, verse number 200, to learn about the importance of the patience as a character for anyone who is looking to be a successful human being. We will recite now from Surah number 3, verse number 200. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. English.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. O you who have believed, persevere and endure, and remain stationed, and fear Allah that you may be successful.
So Allah is clarifying in this verse of the Quran the importance of having patience. If you are looking to be successful, you must have patience all the time, because inshallah through patience you can reach your goal. Inshallah we will stop here, and inshallah next week we will continue with the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will make the dua. الرحيم اللهم صلِّ وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our hearts firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. Ya Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.